Well, it's my pleasure to have all of you here today. The Bible tells us that goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. And today, the goodness and mercy of God is following you and is following me. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the privilege to be in your presence. We thank you for your word, the word of life that you sent to us. Thank you for giving us the Bible, the most precious document in all of the world. And we praise you that your word is active and living and sharper than any two-edged sword, capable of piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart from afar. And we pray that the power of your word will accomplish the purpose for which you have sent it today in our midst. And we will give you all the glory. I commit myself to the authority of your Holy Spirit, that he will speak and proclaim your word through me for the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Well, days of hunger and hard labor gave way to sleepless nights as Lailon and her family struggled to survive four long years of exile in the forests of Cambodia. Under the brutal rule of the Khmer Rouge, Lon saw her parents and her four brothers die of starvation and disease. When she was finally allowed to leave the terror of an almost animal-like existence, only she and her sister Nan were still alive. During those years of horror, Lon, as she's called, a follower of Christ, often wondered why this cruel group of men had been allowed to inflict such inhumanity upon her family and her fellow Cambodians. These thoughts came to my mind many times, night and day, she recalls. Soon after, they were followed by God's promise, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It was to this that I clung. Well, as most of us, if not all of us here, can testify, troubles of various kinds come to believers. In other words, believers are not exempt from troubles, tribulations, trials. Most are not as indescribable as what Lon suffered. Yet her testimony is evidence that God is still good and he is still our refuge when trouble hits. To him we cling. After a history of various troubles and indescribable sufferings endured by the nation of Israel, our study in Zephaniah, so those of you who are joining us for the first time, our study is in the book of Zephaniah, back to the end of the Old Testament, you'll find it. Our study in Zephaniah brings us to one of its high points, where God himself promises to leave a remnant of believing Israel who will not only cling to him, but also live holy lives. So this brings me to the main idea of the message God has given me from his word to deliver you to you at this crucial hour, urgent hour in your life and my life. Please, I want you to listen carefully to it, not just with your head, but more importantly with your heart, where the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth and transformation, is committed and commissioned to plant the seed of God's life-changing and lasting truth in order to conform true Christians among us here more into the glorious image of Jesus Christ, the shepherd and the sustainer of God's flock, and to convict unbelievers of their sin of unbelief, patiently and purposely leading them to genuine repentance and personal saving faith in Jesus Christ, who is the rescuer and redeemer of lost sinners. So here is our message in a nutshell. Please pay close attention to it with an open heart and an open mind. Here is the message. the believing Israel, God will preserve for his purposes, will be characterized by holiness and wholehearted trust in him. I repeat, the believing Israel, God will preserve for his purposes, will be characterized by holiness and wholehearted trust in him. Folks, friends, faithful followers of Christ among us here today, and fellow believers in the fold and flock, in the fellowship and family of God, the Bible is going to vividly and visually show us that Almighty God, listen, is in the business of preserving a remnant for his purposes. It also shows us that those preserved by Almighty God the Lord will make it their life's ambition to cling to him and him alone, and to pursue a life of holiness. These two characteristics, that is, clinging to the Lord and pursuing a life of holiness, will be clearly and convincingly presented in our passage of study today as we begin to delve in that passage. So please, if you have your Bibles, turn them to Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 12 to 13. Will you please listen carefully as I recite our passage of study from the updated New American Standard Bible, which is the most literal translation of our Bible into our English language. I'll be reciting from verse 1 for those of you who have joined us for the first time to get the context of what we have been studying so far. The Bible says in Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 1, "Woe to her who is rebellious and defiled, the tyrannical city. She heeded no voice. She accepted no instruction. She did not trust in the Lord. She did not draw near to her God. Her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are wolves at evening. They leave nothing for the morning. Her prophets are reckless, treacherous men. Her priests have profaned the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. The Lord is righteous within her. He will do no injustice. Every morning he brings his justice to light. He does not fail. But the unjust knows no shame. I have cut off nations. Their corner towers are in ruins. I have made their streets desolate, with no one passing by. Their cities are laid waste, without a man and without an inhabitant. I said, surely you will revere me, accept instruction, so her dwelling will not be cut off, according to all that I have appointed concerning her. But they were eager to corrupt all their ways, all their deeds. They were eager to corrupt all their deeds. Therefore, wait for me, declares the Lord, for the day when I rise up as a witness. Indeed, my decision is to gather nations, to assemble kingdoms, to pour out on them my indignation, all my burning anger. For all the earth will be devoured by the fire of my zeal. For then I will give to the people's purified lips, that all of them may call on the name of the Lord. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my worshippers, my dispersed ones, will bring my offerings. In that day, you will feel no shame because of all your deeds by which you have rebelled against me. For then I will remove from your midst your proud, exulting ones. And you will never again be haughty on my holy mountain. Now to our passage of study, which is verse 12 to 13. The Bible says, but I will leave among you a humble and lowly people, and they will take refuge in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel will do no wrong and tell no lies, nor will a deceitful tongue be found in their mouths. For they will lie down, for they will feed and lie down with no one to make them tremble. This is the word of God to the people of God. May the Lord add his blessing to the recital of his holy word. I know it has been a long recital, but I always stretch myself to do what I possibly not have done without God's help. Well, we have before us today a passage of scripture that can be described or designated as a passage of remnant and refuge. It is a passage of remnant, speaking about remnant, because it confidently speaks of God's personal commitment to preserve a remnant of Israel for his divine purposes. Therefore, speaking with great conviction and confidence of heart, Yahweh himself expresses his personal resolve to leave a remnant among his chosen people, Israel. Because God himself says he will do so, that is exactly what he will do. That is exactly what will happen. Because God says it, it is settled. It is done. His word will not fall to the ground. His word will not falter. Please listen. God will not fail to leave a remnant for Israel. All the powers of darkness and all the nations can turn against tiny Israel to attempt to destroy and annihilate them. But God says, I will leave a remnant. There will be a remnant of Israel. So folks, don't doubt God on this. Because of this principle of preserving a remnant, that is why we have the nation of Israel on this earth today. Well, second, this passage is designated a passage of refuge because, listen, it clearly states that the leading characteristics of God's remnant will be that of taking refuge in him. The remnant will demonstrate wholehearted trust in God. Their trust, their hope, their confidence will no longer be in themselves or in their riches, but in the name of the Lord. In other words, they will be like the Cambodian woman clinging unto the Lord and the Lord alone. So these are the reasons why this passage can be described as a passage speaking about the remnant and a passage speaking about the refuge of the refuge in God. So having simply whetted your spiritual appetite, please now allow me to give you a concise overview of how the Holy Spirit has prepared me to present this passage of scripture to you from start to finish. First of all, we will consider his teaching focusing on the preservation of a remnant of Israel in verse 12a. I tell you, friends, God preserves a remnant of his chosen people for his purposes. This biblical teaching is one that cannot be missed. If you are a good student of the Bible, you cannot miss the fact that God again and again says in his word that he will preserve a remnant of his chosen people. You cannot miss that. If you miss that, you are missing a great point of God's purposes. Well, the preservation of a remnant of Israel is a work that God is so passionate about. You have a passion, right? I have a passion. Well, God is passionate about the work of preserving his chosen people. In fact, it is something that is so very personal to him. Why? What? I tell you why. He says, he speaks of doing it himself. He does not leave this work of preserving a remnant into the hands of his prophets or his priests or pastors today. That work, God says, I will do it. Now the question is, how does God describe those he preserves for his divine purposes? Well, we will answer that question in a few moments. Second, we will look at what the Bible reveals about the priority of the remnant of Israel in verse 12b. What will be the main priority of the remnant preserved by God? Will it be trusting in themselves or trusting in the Lord? Will it be self-reliance or seeking spiritual refuge in God? Well, the Bible will give us its own clear and convincing answers to these important questions in the course of our study. Third, we will discuss the Bible's teaching concerning the purity of the remnant of Israel in verse 13a. We are going to see, listen, folks, that the remnant of Israel, preserved by the God of Israel, will be blessed with purity, both in words and in actions. God, by the Spirit, will enable the remnant of Israel to live lives of purity and holiness. You and I will long to live among them because they will never do wrong or tell you a lie. That's what God says about these people preserved for his purposes. And fourth and finally, we will examine what the Bible says about the promised future of peace and prosperity for the remnant of Israel in verse 13b. I tell you, friends, the future of the remnant of Israel is a peaceful and prosperous one. Today, Israel, the nation of Israel, is in turmoil. Israel is troubled deeply. They are afflicted on every side. Conflicts without, fears within. But a day is coming when all that will be a thing of the past. God will bless them with peace and prosperity as only He can. The UN cannot bless Israel with peace and prosperity so that they will not have conflict. Only God, the God of Israel. Well, having given you a brief overview of our passage of study, let's now dig deeper into it to discover the precious spiritual lessons the Holy Spirit is eager to impress upon our hearts in order to do His work of molding true, genuine believers more into the blessed image of Jesus Christ, the blessed Son of God and the beloved Son of God, our Savior. We begin, first of all, with his teaching centering on the preservation of a remnant of Israel in verse 12. Notice the Bible says, and I'll recite it, it says, "But I will leave among you a humble and lowly people." That is God speaking. First of all, I want you to notice the decision of the God of Israel to preserve a remnant of Israel. Speaking with great conviction of heart, sometimes when you read the Bible, ask the Holy Spirit to help you see the heart of God as He speaks. So as He says these words, He says it with great conviction of heart, "But I will leave a remnant." Or as He says, "I will leave among you a humble and lowly people." So He says, "But I will live among you." As the sovereign and supreme deity of the universe, whose authority cannot be challenged, God decides to leave a remnant of Israel for His purposes. Remember, there were times where God says, "I will wipe you all out." He could have done it, and nobody will challenge Him. But He did it. Remember the time when God, the people of Israel, sinned in the wilderness? He said, I will destroy all of you, Moses, all the people that sin against me, and I will make you a great nation. And Moses said, no, God, that's not a promise I want to have. So God chose here to leave a remnant. Now the Hebrew word translated leave is sha'ar. It also means to be left, to survive, to let remain, or leave behind. This verb is used 130 times in the Hebrew Old Testament. The prophet Isaiah actually stressed the remnant concept before the Babylonian exile. In Isaiah chapter 4 verse 3, he speaks, before the people will be taken to exile, that is the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom of Israel had already been taken to exile. Now the southern kingdom is on the verge of being taken to exile. And then God gave this prophecy to Isaiah regarding leaving behind a remnant. He says in chapter 4 verse 3, it will come about that he who is left, that is the Hebrew word, left, sha'ar. It is used here in the passive sense. He who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy. Everyone who is recorded for life in Jerusalem. So Isaiah the prophet spoke of the remnant of God, and he says, describes them as people who will be holy, as we will see in this same pass, in the passage we are studying today. Well, this motif can be found even as far back as the Pentateuch, that is the five books of Moses. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, Moses also, by the Spirit of God, spoke of a people being left, or a remnant. In verse 27, he says, the Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few. There's the word again, left. You'll be left few in number among the nations where the Lord drives you. So, in other words, God's decision to preserve a remnant of Israel was revealed in the Bible even before they went into the promised land. So he knew ahead of time what he would be doing, living or preserving a remnant. And so he said it even before they ever set foot on the promised land. Well, the people left by the Lord are those spared in the judgment and gathered together again out of the dispersion. Now please notice the description of these people. He says, God first made the decision, I will leave among you. Now, what type of people is God saying, I will leave among you? Well, that is why the Bible gives us the description. The Bible gives us a concise and colorful description of the remnant of Israel preserved by the God of Israel. It simply and succinctly says, a humble and lowly people. It is also translated in some of your Bible, a people bowed down and poor, or an afflicted people, an afflicted and poor people. And this is actually stated only in two words in the Hebrew, ani vadal, humble and lowly. This is a description of a people who do not trust in their own strength and boast of their own virtues. The Bible is saying God will especially provide a place for the humble and lowly remnant who, unlike the arrogant we saw in chapter 3 verse 11, know that they are in need. See, humble people know that they must depend on God. Humble people say, God, I need you. But proud people say what? God, I'm self-sufficient. I don't need you. I've got it all covered. That's what the proud people will say. Now remember, when the Babylonians took Judah into captivity, there were 3 deportations of the Jews taken into exile. But they never took all of the people. They left the poor and the afflicted to care for the land. That was actually a type and figure of God's future remnant of Israel, whom he will set apart for himself. So as the Babylonians deported the Jews, including Daniel, including Ezekiel, all those prophets, they never took all of the Jews. They left the poor and the afflicted. And that is actually a type or a picture of what God would do in the future for Israel. God says here, I intend to take care of the afflicted and the poor. I will reserve them for myself. Please listen. The only one in the world today who has a helpful plan for the poor and needy is who? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one to go to. He can help you. He's the only one who can help you indeed. And he'll make sure the poor get an honest deal in life when they turn to him with a humble and contrite heart. Well, having confidently spoken about God's preservation of a remnant of Israel, now the Holy Spirit now leads the prophet Zephaniah to concisely state for us the priority of the remnant of Israel in verse 12b, the second part of verse 12. If you have your Bible, write down the priority of the remnant. The prophet will make it very clear to us that those preserved by God will not be trusting in themselves. Rather, they will wholeheartedly trust in the Lord their God. In other words, self-reliance and arrogance will have no place in their lives. That is why he wanted us to see this very clearly. Their priority in life will be one of clinging to God and confiding in God and God alone. That is why the very first thing the Bible says to us after God's decision to preserve a remnant and the description of the remnant is, and they, speaking about the people they God has preserved, and they will do what? Take refuge in the name of the Lord. That is their priority in life. Actually, this is stated briefly in 3 words in the Hebrew. It says, Vakasu Beshem Yahweh. Here the Bible is teaching us that the leading characteristic or the priority of the remnant of Israel, concisely and colorfully described to us as a humble and lowly people, will be abiding trust in the Lord, which is the spiritual stamp of genuine godliness. Anyone who is truly godly in the sight of God has an abiding trust in God. That person has what? An unshakable confidence in God. God's Spirit will enable and empower these remnant to take refuge in the name of the Lord. The Hebrew word translated take refuge is kasa. It also means to flee for protection, to trust in God, to confide in God, or to hope in someone. Though it can mean to take shelter in a literal sense, it is used more often in a figurative sense of seeking what? Spiritual refuge and putting wholehearted trust in one's deity. In this case, God Almighty, the God of Israel. So this is how it is used in this verse. To take refuge in the name of the Lord, therefore, means you are telling God, you are affirming to God this: Lord, you are my shelter, you alone. Lord, you are my safety, you alone. Lord, you are my security, you alone. Lord, you are my stronghold, you alone. Lord, you are my sure defense, you alone. Lord, I trust in you wholeheartedly. Lord, I confide in you and you alone. May I say to us, God is the only stronghold or refuge that is always, always, always reliable. Actually, it was this which gave rise to the hymn we sang at the beginning of our service. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. It was this thought of God being one to take refuge in. That is why Martin Luther was moved to write this hymn that we sang and our brother Dick played for us. A mighty fortress is our God. So the next time you sing this hymn, think of God as your refuge and that you are taking refuge in Him. Because that's what it means when Martin Luther was led to write that hymn. Earlier, the Bible tells us of those in the nations who have been given purified lips to call on the name of the Lord. We saw that in chapter 3, verse 9. The remnant of Israel will be among this group. So this means they not only call on the name of the Lord, but also seek refuge in the name of the Lord. How wonderful to call on the name of the Lord in wholehearted worship of Him to the exclusion of all others, as well as to demonstrate wholehearted trust in seeking refuge in His name. Today, people are seeking refuge in all kinds of things. Some in money, some in relationships, some in magic. They're seeking refuge just to be what? Safe and secure. But here the Bible tells us, in the name of the Lord, you can take refuge and you will be safe and secure. Not only for this life, but also for the life soon to come. A Christian poet wrote this poem, and I want you to listen carefully to it. It's just a few words. It says, in the times of greatest struggle, when the angry billows roll, I can always find my Savior, Christ, the refuge of my soul. So who is the refuge of your soul today, brothers and sisters? Honestly, in whom are you putting your trust today? Jesus. Praise God. Who is your security today? And who is your stronghold today? Well, the Bible tells us, in the name of the Lord, we can take refuge and will be safe and secure for this day unto the day He calls us home. Well, having confidently spoken about God's preservation of a remnant of Israel, and having also concisely stated for us the priority of the remnant of Israel, the Holy Spirit now directs the prophet Zephaniah to carefully share something very special about the spiritual life of those preserved by the God of Israel. That is the purity of the remnant of Israel in verse 13a. The remnant of Israel, the Bible tells us, will be blessed with purity. They will be living a holy life. Notice what the Bible says in the first part of verse 13. It says, the remnant of Israel will do no wrong and tell no lies, nor will a deceitful tongue be found in their mouths. Now that is incredible what their lives will be. The Bible is saying the remnant of Israel will neither commit injustice nor practice wickedness and deceit with word and tongue. As such, they will therefore be a holy nation, answering to their divine calling in Exodus chapter 19, verse 6, where the Bible, God says to Israel, you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. We see that divine calling being fulfilled in this prophecy. You see, just as God does no wrong, so also will the remnant of Israel do no wrong. And just as the servant of Yahweh, that is the Lord Jesus, has no deceit in his mouth, Isaiah 53 verse 9, 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 22, so also the remnant of Israel will have no deceit in their mouths. Just as God cannot lie, Titus chapter 1 verse 2, 2 Timothy chapter 1, chapter 2 verse 3, so also the remnant of Israel will not and cannot lie. In other words, previous sins among God's people, such as injustice or wrongdoing, lying, and a deceitful tongue giving words that are not from God, will be among them no longer. Oh, what a change! What a change! This is a marvelous change. God is working in the remnant. Friends, do you know that even in the most sanctified of gatherings of God's people today, there is wrongdoing, there is telling of lies, deceiving and being deceived. But the Bible says when God preserves a remnant of Israel, no such thing will be happening among them. There'll be no lying. You don't have to watch your back that somebody will deceive you. Because every word that comes out of the mouth of these people will be truth. Now someone says, since even God's people indulge in these sins, that is the sins of doing wrong, lying, and having deceitful tongue, when will the remnant of Israel live such lives of purity and holiness? Well, the prophet Zephaniah is looking forward to the time of perfection, which begins with the coming of Christ and will be completely realized at his return to judgment. That is, the prophet is looking far into the future about what God will do concerning Israel. Actually, the words of 1 John chapter 3 verse 9 to 10 appropriately applies to what the prophet Zephaniah is saying to us here of the remnant of Israel, who are living lives of purity like never before. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3 verse 9 to 10, no one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not from God, nor the one who does not love his brother. So the Bible makes it very clear to us that these people will be preserved by God, will have no sin in their lives. And I wish that were true of you and I today. We mess up. We fail. But thank God, he picks us up every time we fall. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. Please listen. If you are among those who have been touched and transformed by God and who therefore love him, you will be striving in the strength of the Spirit to do what God says. You want to live a holy life. That doesn't mean you will never sin, but you have a desire to live a holy life. You want to pursue a life of purity. You want to obey God. For wanting to obey Christ is the most important factor in a life of holiness. Do you want to know if you are among the remnant of God's people today? God has preserved a remnant today, and he's working through them today. Who are those people? Do you want to know if you are among them? Well, please listen. You can know by this simple test. That is the simple test. Are you striving to live a holy life today in the strength of the Spirit? Do you have a desire to live a life of purity? If you do, then you are among the remnant God has preserved today, through whom he's working his purposes. Well, the Bible now brings us to the fourth and final teaching point of this brief and blessed passage, and it focuses on the promised future of peace and prosperity for the remnant of Israel in the second part of verse 13. The nation of Israel has not had a moment since they have been in that land that they have not been troubled, terrified, and threatened. But now, speaking with great confidence and conviction of heart, God promises to bless the remnant of Israel with what? Peace and prosperity in a few blessed words. He says, "For they will feed and lie down with no one to make them tremble. Prophesying the peaceful and prosperous latter days of God's chosen people, the prophet Micah also used similar words in his prophecy that is so revealing. He says in chapter 4, verse 4, the prophet Micah, "Each of them will sit under his vine and under his fig tree, with no one to make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken." So this prophecy of Israel's future being a future of peace and prosperity is not only spoken by one prophet, but other prophets as well. Which means what? Which means what? Which means God is emphasizing it, and which means God will do it. He will not fail to do or accomplish that future for Israel. The Bible is saying material prosperity and peace will accompany the remnant of Israel. Not only that, God will allow them to enjoy his rich blessings undisturbed. Now, what is the point of having riches and not having peace to enjoy it? Do you see the point? I mean, some people have riches, but they have no peace to enjoy it. They sit down and somebody breaks into their house, or maybe even kill them. There is no peace to enjoy that prosperity. But God says, when I give peace or blessings of riches to my people, I'll also give them peace to enjoy. They will enjoy the blessings undisturbed. That is, without being afraid or anxious, without trembling or trepidation, without being shaken or startled, without being fearful or frightened. Actually, the promised future of peace and prosperity for the remnant of Israel is a reminder of the assurance of the blessing which is promised in the law as the reward of faithful walk in the commandments of the Lord. Remember Deuteronomy chapter 28. We have all the blessings of God promised for God's people. And I'll just point a few of them to you. For the people who obey, listen to what God says. "Now it shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. Blessed you shall be in the city, and blessed you shall be in the country. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body and the produce of your ground, and the offspring of your beast, the increase of your herd and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They will come out against you one way and will flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessings upon you in your barns and all that you put your hand to, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, as he swore to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. So, you see, my friends, you only can rejoice in the promised blessings of God and enjoy his peace and prosperity when you are doing what? Walking in obedience to God. If you are walking in the commandments of God, he promises to bless you. So the Bible is saying here that the enjoyment and experience of the blessings of peace and prosperity actually provide a practical proof that wrong and wickedness occur no more among the remnant of Israel. Bible commentator Charles Feinberg carefully and concisely summarized what we've learned so far in these thoughtful and timely words. He writes, quote, "Instead of proud ones, the Lord will leave in the midst of the land such as are afflicted and poor, the meek and humble, those who truly find their refuge in the name of the Lord alone. Iniquity, falsehood, and deceit will be purged from the remnant of Israel. In that condition, spiritually, they will find physical prosperity and peace as well. Neither home nor foreign oppressor will then harass them. They will enjoy the rich blessings of God unmolested and undisturbed. They will fulfill their divine calling." End quote. Please make no mistake about this. God is not finished with the nation of Israel. In fact, the future awaiting Israel is very bright and promising. Now, the question is, as I bring this message to a close, how does this message apply to you and me? Here's how it applies to you and to me. Will you say today that you are indeed part of God's remnant who are characterized by humility, truth, and righteousness, by wholehearted trust in the Lord alone, and by purity and holiness of life? If that is not true of you, you need to get your relationship with Jesus Christ straightened up now while there is time to do so. Acknowledge to Jesus today that you have failed as a believer to live up to his standards. Accept the forgiveness of Jesus Christ and thank him for it. And ask the Holy Spirit today to give you a renewed desire to walk in humility and holiness before God, and to walk in the truth and wholehearted trust in the Lord. Now, if you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, may I say to you today that there is a new day for the people of God, a day marked by what? Purity, peace, prosperity, and perfect joy. But it is only for those who are really God's born-again children. That means you will not be a part of the new day of God's people, a day that is characterized by peace and prosperity as well as purity and perfect joy. But all that can change for you today, because God is now giving you a wonderful opportunity to become a participant in the new day of God's people. Simply come to Jesus today as you are. Confess to Jesus today that you are a sinner who will not only miss out on the new day of God's people, but also be condemned in his judgment if you were to die today in your sins. And call on Jesus today with simple, sincere, childlike faith that he died on the cross for your sins, that he was buried to put away your sins as far as the east is from the west, and that he rose on the third day to bring you into a right standing with God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and commit this message to you. We thank you for preserving a remnant through whom you accomplish your purposes. And Lord, I pray for each one of us here today who know you and love you, that you will enable us by the power of your Holy Spirit to take refuge in the name of the Lord our God for the rest of our days, that when we stand before you, you will say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." Now, Lord, I pronounce your blessing upon your people. Grace be with you all. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.